In the name of our living Lord and risen Redeemer, Jesus Christ, amen. Our text for our homily this morning is the scripture reading that was just read. This Sunday is Pentecost, and as we look forward to the celebration, water is usually not the first element that comes to mind. Quite naturally, just the opposite comes to mind. We think of fire and the tongues of fire that rested on Jesus' disciples. Artists never fail to remind us of those fiery tongues in all their pictures of Pentecost. Although water scarcely comes to our mind when we think of Pentecost, it clearly came to Jesus' mind as he cried out in the temple, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Jesus spoke his wonderful invitation, "Let him come to me and drink," on the last and greatest day of the Feast of Tabernacles. For a week, the Jews had again remembered and celebrated the Lord's preservation of his people during the 40 years of wandering in the desert, where they had lived in tabernacles or tents. It was a joyful celebration of the Lord's miraculous deliverance from his people from certain death. As the Lord was their Savior from imminent death in the desert, so Jesus stood in their midst as their Savior from eternal death. Tragically, Jesus' startling invitation, "Come to me and drink," was rejected by the majority of the people, who refused the living water that could satisfy their spiritual thirst in time and save their very lives through eternity. All people, in their heart of hearts, know something is wrong with human life, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Most people, though, are concerned about what is the matter with our government. What is wrong with our economic system? What's the matter with health care? But very sad to say, the majority of the people in our country are not concerned about what is the matter with their souls. Think of it. Jesus was in the midst of these people. Jesus was attending the feast. Jesus was teaching the people. Jesus had performed many miracles. Yet they had made up their minds as to what kind of Messiah or Savior Jesus was to be. And when Jesus did not measure up to their man-made thinking, their rules about what the Messiah should be, they rejected Jesus. Nothing Jesus could do or say could make these Jews change their minds. They had closed minds, and they knew before what they wanted to find in a Messiah, and even the Word of God, even the Son of the Living God, did not have an impact on their changeless hearts. We too can often have closed minds and avoid letting the Word of God have an impact on our lives. We can have a tendency to overlook our shortcomings by failing to look into the mirror of God's law. It is so much simpler for all of us to acquire that relationship disease of blaming others rather than evaluating our own sinful shortcomings. Since we're on a seminary campus, we can easily slip into rationalizing our sinful thoughts, our sinful words, and our sinful actions, believing that the Word of God is for everyone else, not for ourselves. Jesus' invitation, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink," is an open invitation. Jesus says, "Come to me," not once or twice, or once in a great while. Jesus says, "Come as often as you can, for as much as you like." Jesus' guest will never hear him say to any of us, "Are you here again in chapel or in worship?" Jesus always stands ready to fill our empty cups with the abundant comfort of the gospel through the preaching of the word and receiving the sacraments. To all who take him up on his invitation, Jesus gives us this special promise. If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Every pastor, every Christian will find Jesus' promise unfailingly true. Such a pastor or Christian applies himself to the Word and the Word to himself. And thus a pastor is never at a loss for words of grace and peace as he serves God's people. In God's saving truth, there is always more for all of us to learn. We can never become too filled with the gospel and the Word. We can never be too humbled in our sin, too confident in our Savior, too hopeful of heaven. Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures. They are they which testify of me." Jesus also declared loudly in the temple, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Jesus' promise reached a resounding fulfillment when Peter preached to the people the whole counsel of God on Pentecost. The living waters of the gospel flowed mightily from within him that day. Terror-stricken at the truth that they had crucified the Holy One of God, 3,000 consciences found forgiveness for their sin by the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What powerful words from our text this morning. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. The great Lutheran theologian, C.F.W. Walther, described the gospel's force in the life of a believer this way. Walther said, "Faith cannot be shut in. It is like a sea to be tapped. It rushes irresistibly through any proper opening that can be made for it. A believer cannot but profess the gospel before men, even though he perceives that he will receive nothing but ridicule and scorn for proclaiming the gospel." What wonderful words are given to us in our text this morning from God's Holy Bible. Where do we find the source of these mighty rushing gospel waters? The hymn writer answered that question for all of us. "Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall, here a pure and healing fountain flows to you, to me, to all. In a full perpetual time, open when our Savior died." We pray, Lord Jesus, make streams of living water flow from within us and bring the good news of salvation to many others. In his precious name, amen.